We're in the second week of a series we are calling Known For. And in this series, we're asking what we think is a pretty important question. What do we want to be known for? What do we want to be known for? This is an important question for us to ask individually. I mean, unless Jesus comes back before we die, somebody's probably going to stand up at our memorial service and they're going to say a few words. And when they do, everybody in the rooms at that point, they're going to know what it was that we were known for. Some of you lead businesses, organizations. This is a great question to ask your team. What are we known for? What do we want to be known for? Now, I think this is an important question for the church, for the universal church to be asking right now in our day and time. And it's an important question for us to be asking here at Oak Hills Church. Last week we acknowledged a problem that we are solving for, a growing perception in our culture of the church. And here's what we find. Many are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. Now this is a growing perception in our culture, and this is a problem, and here's why. Because many people have said no to God simply because they believe that God has said no to them. I mean, think about it. Follow it to its logical conclusion. If what I know about the church, God's representation of his people, is more about what they're against, then I just conclude that they're against me personally. Well, if I believe that, then that means that God is against me too. And after all, it just makes sense, right? Like people start to think, it just confirms what they already thought. I mean, if there really is a God, and you're telling me that he knows everything about me, like everything, like all the failures, he knows all the skeletons in the closet, like he knows all that, that God is not saying yes to me. And so a lot of people put two and two together and they go, well, that sure equals four. Then there are some people who they signed up for religion and they said, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump on the treadmill of religion. And man, they were giving it everything that they had and they were trying really hard to be a really good person. But they found out that it was just exhausting. They let people down. People let them down. It was just exhausting trying to be good enough because, let's just be honest, we never really feel good enough, do we? And so what do? We step off the treadmill. Well, sometimes we fall off the treadmill. Like it's still going, right? And it just kind of rolls us back and it's not pretty. But a lot of people, that I talk to, they're just like, man, I hope God's grading on the curve, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I just, fingers crossed, I don't know. People have said no to God. Why? Because they believe that he's already said no to them. But God is building his kingdom. And he is changing the way that people see him and think about him. Here's how he's doing it. He is doing it through living, breathing expressions of his body. And as people see the church rise up, loving and serving, people are going, man, maybe I need to step back and rethink that. Maybe God is actually for me. And you see, here's how we do this. We do this when we say yes to the people who have said no. We all know people who have said no. Said no to Jesus, said no to our values, said no to everything that we hold near and dear. But what if we were the people who said yes to the people who have said no? What if we were the people known for saying yes, for being for the people who have said, this is why we are so passionate here at Oak Hills about courageously engaging the culture with the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. But the realization is if we want to see that vision come to fruition, if we want to see that, we have to remain committed to our mission And that is to be disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. And here's the thing. We're not going to be able to guide anyone if we don't first learn how to follow ourselves. Had an opportunity this past week to gather with pastors from around the country. There were about 25 of us that gathered in the Grand Tetons with one of our partners, World Vision, to discuss how we could continue the work that many of you were a part of back in June with the Chosen Initiative. You remember that. Thank you so much for participating in that. Because as we sponsor children, it's transforming communities and it is spreading the gospel around the world. So we gathered to talk about how we could continue to do that even more. But while we were there, for 2 days of the week, we went on a little hike. 32 miles, 8,000 feet of elevation climb to 11,000. I love how you guys are like, whoa, that's... Yeah, I was there. It was, whoa. It was 28 hours on our feet in 2 days. So if I seem a little tired, you guys know why. When we got there, they gathered us together and we did a little orientation, right? Like where they do the wilderness orientation and they start, you know, telling you how to, like, what to do when you come across a bear. And it's like, okay, can I just step out? At one point they said, okay, how many of you have never done anything like this before? My hand went up. I was like buying the backpack. I didn't know what I was doing. My hand went up. A couple others' hands went up. Then they asked the question, how many of you have done stuff like this, like all the time? Well, a few other hands went up. Can I tell you, I was now studying the room. I was paying attention. I was studying their names. I was trying to memorize their names. I was studying their faces. I wanted to know who had been there before. At one point, they're making introductions. One guy says, this is Jonathan. He's a pastor from Alaska. And, oh, by the way, the thing that you need to know about Jonathan is that he once shot and killed a grizzly bear that was charging his friend. I said, can I be Jonathan's friend? I didn't want to hang out with all the rookies like me when I could hang out with grizzly bear killing Jonathan. They had been there. Our guides were experienced. They had seen the peak. They had actually gone down the trail a week before we got there. I mean, there were places where there were two different roads going, and I didn't even know, like, there's not even a sign here. Like, how do you know which way to go? Well, I've been here. So can I tell you what I did? I just watched them, and I did what they did. When they started putting on warm clothes, I started putting on warm clothes. Even though it was still hot, I thought, these guys, they know something I don't know. Well, sure enough, when we got to the peak, it's a lot colder up there. And I'm like, I'm glad I watched them. When they said drink water, I drank water. I did everything that they did. I watched them. When they knew when to rest, they knew when to go. And so when they spoke, I listened. And when they said go, I followed. Scripture tells us that this is exactly the way that Jesus Christ followed his Father. In fact, here's the first point for us today. Jesus followed his Father moment by moment. You wonder why we talk about all this moment by moment? Well, it starts right here, because Jesus himself followed his Father moment by moment. The hard moments. The good moments, everything in between, he stayed constantly connected to his Father. In fact, John 5 tells us this. Jesus is saying this. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, well, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Why does the Father show him all that he does? Why does the Father invite Jesus into everything that he is doing? Is it because he just needs him? No. Is it because he's testing him to see how good he can do? No. The Father invites the Son into everything that he's doing because he loves him. And that is exactly what he's doing today with us. We have the same invitation to follow because the Father loves us. But Jesus would go on to say, I want you to follow me the way I follow my Father. In fact, here's number two. We follow Jesus the way he followed his Father. Jesus followed his Father moment by moment, and he calls us to do the same as we follow him moment by moment. And again, these are the words of Jesus. This time it's John chapter 15. He says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And there it is again. Jesus following his Father moment by moment and then calling us to do the same. Jesus says, stay connected to me. Don't get disconnected. Stay connected to me. Live in me, is what he's saying. Dwell in me. Make your home. Just settle down. Make your home. Rest in me. And when you do, I'm going to make my home in you. What he's saying ultimately is my relationship with you is going to ultimately determine what I'm able to do through you. Oh, and by the way, apart from me, you can do nothing. It was Stephen Covey who, I believe, said, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. Here's our main thing. We are disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. But for just a moment, I want to zero in on a very important part of our mission, and it is this. We are disciples who make disciples, say this with me, by guiding all people. But here's what we know. We're never going to be able to guide all people if we're not following ourselves. On the last day of the climb, we called it peak to peak because, well, there were two peaks, 2 days, two summits. And on the second day, we got up to the summit. And I remember we were coming back down and our guides, our expert guides, got up ahead of us to powwow a little bit. They're just like, y'all just hang back for a second. It's like mom and dad get together and they talk without the kids. So we're just kind of standing there going, what in the world is going on? Well, they come back to us and they go, okay, so here's the deal. It took us a little longer to get to the peak than we thought it would. And so we are going to have to call an audible. We're going to have to hike out of here in the dark. Yeah. They say, get out your headlamps, dress warm. We're going to have to stop and get water because we're going to take a trail that's going to take us a lot longer than the one that we came up. It's going to be safer, but not really, really safe because now we're going to have to go and walk down by the stream, which is moose and bear territory, and we're going to be going through there like when they come down to the stream and when they're, you know, feeding and all that. So, okay. I remember, I've never done anything like this before. So we begin to walk And the sun begins to go down, and it gets darker and darker until the moment you turn your little headlamp on, and all I can see is just this little light, and I can see the feet right in front of me. They told us, they said, hey, there are no recorded bear attacks on a group larger or three or more. No recorded bear attacks on three or more people in a group. I don't know if that's true, but if they were just trying to get us to stick together, let me tell you, friend, it worked. Because it got dark, and we're walking through like the weeds, like the trail, and the weeds are like just above waist high, so you're kind of walking through there, and you're like, you know, and you try to make noise, like you don't want to startle a bear. I've found out that's really bad. And so we're like making noise and making up songs, and we wrote a song called Hey Bear. It's gonna be a big hit. Hey Bear, we're coming your way. We don't taste good, don't eat us today. That was kind of the deal. And yeah, it's a big hit. Just look for it, it's coming your way. So we're walking through there, and that's all I can see. But I keep walking. And eventually, we start to see the lights down the hill. And the people who are waiting for us, yelling for us, way to go! And you're just like, oh, we made it. Earlier that day, we were following our experienced guide, and we saw this. This was one of the views. And I just want to apologize to you, because there's just no way a picture is going to be able to take that in. But can I tell you, I would have never seen this view without a guide. I would not have left base camp. When they started talking about bears I wouldn't have left. I would not have done this by myself. I guarantee you that. I don't think I would have done this with three other people. But with an experienced guide, one who had been there, we made it to the top and we got to see this. And we not only made it, but we made a memory for a lifetime. But I would have never left base camp. I'd still be there. Let me tell you, the shower was warm, the bed was comfortable. I mean, it was beautiful there. It was nice there, but it wasn't what I came for. And it wasn't what I signed up for. What I signed up for was the adventure. Friend, can I tell you that there are a lot of Christians who are still at base camp. They've accepted Jesus, received Jesus, they've been baptized, they are thankful for his salvation, but they're still sitting at base camp. And base camp is nice, but it's not what we signed up for. We signed up for the adventure. And that adventure awaits us. And the difference is, do you have a guide? Do you have a guide? That's all the difference in the world. Or whether you stay at base camp or whether you go on the adventure. That was the difference for me. And that's the difference for us. The Apostle Paul said it like this. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know, when we were in the dark, the person I was following actually had never been on a hike before either. But I followed them because of the one they were following. They were following the experienced guide. This fall, our mission is to guide all people. Our mission is not just to preach to all people. It's not just to gather all people. Those are good things to do. It's not just to serve all people. That is a wonderful thing to do, and Jesus modeled that, of course. But our mission is to guide all people. We don't want to just be known for telling people to be disciples. We want to guide people. And we have a plan. This fall, we're starting some core classes. We're calling them core classes because they're core for us to be known for following Jesus moment by moment. Here are a couple of them. You're going to have these in the fall on Sunday mornings. Core classes, the first one is Bible study basics. We want to help people move from being a casual reader of the Bible to becoming a student of the Word of God. This is a part of kind of strengthening that core so that we can go on this adventure. Here's another one, moment by moment. This core class is really about what we've been talking about this morning. Now, we don't have time to go into all the how we cultivate this personal relationship with Jesus moment by moment, but this core class can. It can teach us how we do that specifically through spiritual disciplines. You see, this focus on God's word and these spiritual disciplines, it's very intentional because these are the primary ways that we know the voice of God, that we can hear his voice. These are the primary ways that we can follow the leader. And if we learn how to follow, just like those expert guides in the mountains, you see, they learned from those who came before them so that they could guide those who came after them. That's the kind of church that we want to be. Those who are disciples who make disciples. So we want to be intentional about that. We're also, this fall, we're going to have equipping classes other times during the week. We're going to have men's and women's Bible studies. Those are going to be on Wednesday evenings. They're going to be on Tuesday mornings. We're also going to have parent equipping, parenting in a digital age. We're going to have finances. Maybe some of you, you're like, man, if I could just, you know, get rid of some of this debt, we're going to have Financial Peace University. Maybe that's the next step for you. That'd be an awesome next step. Marriage, maybe that's a next step, is learning how to strengthen your marriage. And then we're also going to have care communities. So maybe you're dealing with a specific grief or you're recovering from trauma or divorce specifically. We're going to have care communities for you. And we're doing this because we want to equip ourselves to be able to guide all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. This fall, let's leave base camp. Let's leave base camp together. I know it's nice, and I know it might be comfortable, and it might even be familiar, but let's go on the adventure together. Friends, there's an adventure that awaits. Let's go on the path together. Let's take the mountain. Let's climb up the hill, and let's do it together. Let's fight off some bears for each other if we have to. You see, the problem that we're solving for is that many are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. And there is too much at stake for that to be the prevailing perception of God's people. He is building his kingdom, and he's doing it through us. After the last service, had a lady named Gracie, never met Gracie. She walked up and she said, "I have a burden on my heart." She said, I'm at an alternative school and it's about to start, and I'm feeling anxious for our students, but here's what I feel like God is calling me to do. She said, there's a flagpole out in front of our school. I feel like he's calling me just to go and just to walk around that area and pray for our students every day. She said, I want to go talk to my principal tomorrow morning and let him know this idea. Would you just pray that he would be receptive to that? I said, Gracie, I'll pray for that. And we got down on our knees and we prayed for that. That's what God was calling her, the Spirit was calling her to. That's the adventure that he was calling her to. What's the adventure that he's calling you to? So that together we can courageously engage culture with the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. What is that for you? As you can imagine, there were some folks on our hike. There were different fitness levels of those on the hike. Some seemed to to never breathe hard at all. And you think, how in the world did they do that? Well, I know how they did that. They actually trained for this hike. But then there were others of us that at times we got tired. We just got winded, out of breath. The climb was steep. The air got thinner. I just kind of felt out of breath, winded. I wonder if that's where some of you are today. Maybe you don't even understand why. You're just like, man, I just feel like the wind has just kind of been knocked out of me. Maybe that's you. And if that's not you, I want you to know that is us. That is us. It's not that our country has never experienced a pandemic before. It's not that we haven't experienced economic downturn before. It's not that we haven't experienced civil unrest before. It's not that we haven't experienced these things before. Deep political division. We've experienced all those things before. But we have experienced in 12 months what historically we would have experienced over a 100-year span, just in 1 year. See, that's us. We have experienced a collective trauma. And I get it. I mean, we can want to go back to normal. We can, you know, whatever that is. And I get it. I know we want to get back to that. But the truth is, collectively, we're winded. If that's you, first of all, I want you to know you are not alone. Okay? Like, we can all try to pretend like everything's awesome. Okay? That's the Lego movie. That's not the gospel. I want you to know that it's okay to not be okay. And I want to read a word over you. Someone read this over me this past week, and it was just exactly what I needed to hear. Maybe it's for some of you. I want to read from Ezekiel 37, a word over you. In fact, if that is you, and you're feeling just a little bit out of breath, maybe you don't even know why, I want to ask you if you would be so bold just to stand right now as a way to say, I receive this word from the Lord. Just to stand right where you are. If you're worshiping with us online, you can just stand right where you are as if a way to say, that's me, I receive it. These are the words of Ezekiel over you. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put tendons on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the tendons and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. Breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Can we just give God praise for his guidance, even in those moments as we walk through the dark and all we can see is right in front of us, and that's enough because he's the one in the front and he is guiding the way, because Jesus said, I am the way. I know the way. Just follow me moment by moment. I want to invite all of us right now just to join in praise. Let's sing this together as we shout this out together. All the earth will shout your praise. Let's sing.
All the earth will shout your,
come on.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
We sing it again.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Fill you with his breath.
Great.